Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We love you, God. We're grateful, Lord, for your mercy toward us, for your forgiveness, for your renewing, for your refreshing. We pray, God, tonight that all of this will be manifest by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. We want to welcome any of our guests that are here tonight. We're thankful that you're with us. Take a moment, if you will, and you can talk to one of the ushers or the greeters, and they will, if you allow them, get a couple points of information so that we can stay in touch with you out by the kiosk. If you can do that, we would appreciate it. You can give online. You can give on the Church Center app. You can give by mail, or you can give in the box in the vestibule at the kiosk. Sunday, May 21st, there will be a men's ministry service and grill out at 6 o'clock at Marvin Renvick's house. Bring a chair and some meat to grill. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Yes. We'll dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you.
Crumbles.
you change everything. Lives heal, hope found here now. Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall, fear bow here now. Jesus, you change everything.
Sing that one more time together.
Oh, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
Let's worship Him all across this place. Lord, we want to see Your glory, Lord Jesus, God. Lord Jesus, we need You, God, in this day, in this hour, God. We need Your word. We need Your presence. We need Your life-changing power, Lord, in our lives, Jesus. In every situation, every circumstance. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to Him right now with lifted hand all across this place. If you're worshiping at home, just lift your hands at home, Lord. We call on You. We lift our hands and surrender, Jesus, to You. We lift our hands and surrender to You, Jesus. We can't do life on our own, Lord Jesus. We need You, God. Show us Your glory, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel the Lord in this place tonight. Amen. 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 While you're standing, if you could turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Give honor to Pastor and Sister Lois, who are started their trek to camp this today, actually, and taking up all the supplies today, and work has started up at the campgrounds for the next 10 days or so. remodeling dorms, fixing offices, all sorts of fun stuff that I know nothing about. So I was not invited. Actually, I was. That's true. Pastor did say, if anyone wants to come up, and I felt in my spirit a but, Phil, I don't know. No. Yeah, it was a check in my spirit. We don't want any injuries. We don't want any leaky dorms. Yeah, it's actually more my flesh. You're right. Nothing to do with the spirit. Like, they'd have me crawl up on that roof and fall through. So, glory. So, we're here tonight. Amen. It's good to see everyone. God is good. Colossians chapter 2. Anyone there yet? Everyone there? All right. Well, you got it up there. If you don't, you're not there. Amen. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Again, this is a letter that Paul's writing to the church of Colossus. And for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, I'm not there in person, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You're doing great. You're doing great, church. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You've received him, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the word, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You're made perfect in him, who is the head of all principality and power. I want to direct you back to verse number 7, where it says, verse 6 and 7, and you therefore, having received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And I want to speak on the subject this evening, rooted in Jesus. Rooted in Jesus. Let's put our Bibles down. I think a very important step is to basically acknowledge the word of the Lord and the power that it has in our lives and say, okay, God, now's the time for you to speak to my heart. I've set the atmosphere in my life in worship, created some fertile ground, hopefully, through our praise tonight. And now, Lord, let that word just penetrate my heart, my spirit, whatever you have for me. Let that be your prayer right now. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the power that is in your word, Lord Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, for, Lord, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, God. Lord Jesus, I pray right now in my own life as I'm, Lord Jesus, speaking your word, that, Lord, it would penetrate my heart and speak to me, God. Every soul, every heart, every mind in this place, those who are watching online tonight, maybe in the future, God, I pray, Lord God, that you would minister something tonight, God. We receive your word in advance. We claim it in advance and believe in God that it's going to fall on fertile ground in our lives. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen, amen. Scripture was written during a primarily an agrarian time of history. Agrarian meaning the cultivation of land, planting of crops, the harvesting of said crops. And so these concepts were very familiar in the everyday individual. Thus, the Bible is full of references to that way of life. For example, we have the principle of sowing and reaping that we find in Scripture. Whatever's planted is what will be harvested. and related to our relationship with Jesus. If we plant good seeds of spiritual disciplines, we're going to harvest in the spiritual in our lives. We're going to see that. And so in this opening passage of Scripture, we have another reference in this area, the agrarian area. Again, Colossians 2, 6 through 7, I'll repeat it again, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. What are roots? What are roots? Roots are what attaches a plant to the ground. Interesting. Yes, I heard someone say something that sounded really scientific, and I'm sure I'm about to say it, so good job. Good job, Isaiah. Whatever you said, it was good. I'm getting old, so anyways. They are a support structure as well. Roots are a support structure. Roots are typically underground, and they are what brings, I think this is what you said, they are what bring up the water and nutrients from the soil to the plant. And that helps the plant grow, helps the grass to grow, helps the trees to grow, those roots. They go deep sometimes. In the case of redwoods, they are shallow, but they spread out and interconnect with each other and create stability, bring nutrients. Without roots, the plant would die. It would die. And so in a nutshell, my five-minute message tonight, we have received Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure we grow some roots in him. And Jesus is where we should be getting our nourishment so that we can grow spiritually. This life with Jesus is not a one-shot experience, and that's why we offer our elements classes here at Calvary Gospel, a way to continue our growth. We need to be rooted in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Boom, that's it. Let's all stand. Pastor Seidel's ready to go. He's got it. Praise God. He's hopefully going to the altar of his office. Amen. Just checking if you're all awake. So being rooted in Jesus brings spiritual nourishment, which leads to growth in our lives. Amen. As we grow in Jesus, we also gain knowledge and understanding. Let's look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that," check this out, "you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." If we're rooted in Jesus, understanding will come. Knowledge will come. If we're not rooted in him, we're not going to understand that the length, the width, the breadth of his love. We're not going to get it, because life's going to come. We're going to get pulled out because we don't have those roots in him. And so that what roots do, they help us gain knowledge and understanding. I love how it's a progressive track with Jesus. It's not a data dump where you're given all knowledge and you have to remember it. Boom, you have, you know, you come to church, you maybe get baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and supernaturally, God just like downloads into your brain everything, all knowledge about eternity, everything. It's like, now remember it and live by it. It's like, yeah, nice try. No, it's a progressive, a one step at a time process. And that's so that's an encouraging thing. Maybe it's frustrating to those who just want to go, 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 and who are maybe not process oriented. Well, God is a God of order and process. And you know what? If you don't get something, and you don't, like, let's say there's a personality conflict that you have, and, well, I'm just going to move my job, and I'm just going to quit my job because I can't just deal with that personality. God is going to bring that same personality along again. Why? Because you need to get past, you need to figure out how to work with that person. You need to figure out how to deal with a situation or a circumstance or maybe something internal that you need to deal with. And You may say, well, I just want to be instantly knowledge about this situation and never see it again. Well, you know, it's like an onion. It's like one peel at a time, and then God's like, okay, I got a deeper level of that situation in your life that we need to go to. So there's a process. We couldn't handle if we went to the root of things sometimes, but God gives us a process and a time, and that's a beautiful thing. Building on the previous concepts that we've learned, continually growing. Second Peter talks about this, verse 1, or chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, what? Add to your faith virtue. You start with faith, I believe in you, God. Now add to that faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay rooted in Jesus and add one more thing on your plate. Learn one more concept. Grow in one more area. Challenge yourself one more time. I think I said this in the lesson a couple weeks ago, Sunday morning lesson. He's a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet. It's not a searchlight that we can see where we're going. It's, okay, here's the next step to take. And embrace that. And if you don't know what direction to go with God or whatever, ask the Lord. God, I need one step to take. Don't try to figure everything out. One step. Take one step. And he'll give you that step, and then take it. Get into it. Get after it. Challenge yourself one more time. Amen. You come to service every week. Come to serve and say, God, what am I going to get tonight? God, I need a fresh word. Okay, I've heard about the roots, God. I've done that. Some of you have been here for years and years, and you could teach this lesson about being rooted in God. But come here as soon as you hear the title, it said, oh, the roots again. Yeah, yeah. Be rooted in Jesus. Sounds great. You can have that perspective or can say, okay, I get it, but I want a fresh thought, God. I want a fresh thought. I love, and I miss our elder brother, Brother Russell, because every time I spoke, he'd come up and I slightly felt like dumb because he's like, oh man, this scripture that you said, and then he'd just expound on it and be like, oh, and the heavens would open, and I'm just like, man, why didn't I think of that? Like, God, like, you know. But he was always like encouraging that way, like, your word that you deliver from the Lord made me think of this. And he'd just give it just as a personal, by the way. And it was so encouraging, like, okay, even at his age, he was wanting fresh thoughts, fresh understanding, fresh, one more step, God. Amen. We grow spiritually when we're rooted in Jesus. We gain knowledge and understanding when we're rooted in Jesus. And as a result, when we are rooted in him, we are also supported and can stay strong in the Lord. That's what roots do. They support the plant. What a promise we find in Proverbs 12, verse 3. It says, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. How encouraging is that? If we are rooted in Jesus, we can't be moved. It doesn't mean that life won't be hard. The hurricane won't come. The storm won't blow our way. Hardship and trials and pain won't affect us. No, it doesn't say that you won't be affected. It's kind of like the build your house, that whole scripture. Build your house on the rock instead of the sand. Why? Because the same storm came in both situations. But one man built his house on the sand and it blew away because there was no foundation. There was no root, so to speak. But yet the man who built on the rock, same storm, his foundation was solid. And his house still stood. I preached a message a long time ago, showed the hurricane that came through Texas, Galveston. And there was one guy who built his house and rated it for like a hurricane category 5 or say even higher, the highest that you could do, even higher, and built pylon, everything. And there's a picture of every house destroyed on the coast except his house that stood. Same storm, just built differently. Built in roots. Greater roots, greater death. Amen. Amen. So we can have that support. We're not going to be moved. That is the contrast to the parable of the seeds that we find in Matthew 13. I'm going to start in verse 1. Just read this quickly. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. Whole multitudes stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, hear this one, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. So, wow, sweet, awesome. You see the out in Lake Mead where there was the drought was killing it, and then all of a sudden it rained, and what was desert was now just green everywhere. Why? Because it's ripe for it. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. They withered away. So the meaning of this is clarified later on in the chapter, verse 20 of chapter 13. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yes, and there's like a quick work, and I'm going to do it. But yet he has no root in himself, but it endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Church, scripture is clear. When we don't have roots, we're going to stumble. When we are rooted in Jesus, we cannot be moved. We cannot be moved. Amen. So we should be rooted and grounded into Jesus. It's where our growth comes from. It's where knowledge and understanding comes from. It's where stability comes from, that root system in Jesus. But let's go back to Colossians, our opening scripture. I'm going to start again in verse 6, because there was a warning that was given. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So get rooted in Jesus. But then verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, who's the head of all principality and power. So it's sandwiching the warning by, hey, be rooted and grounded, and hey, God is your source of power, and you're going to be complete, and you're made perfect in him. But in the middle of that, hey, beware. We have to be careful that we're not cheated out of our growth in God, knowledge and wisdom in God, and stability in God. It's when we start to mix or combine a life with Christ with what the world is saying, what culture is saying, what concepts and constructs are out there. Ultimately, it leads us to how Romans describes it in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Skipping down to verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Our own thoughts, our own hearts, our own minds, our own thinking, our own ways of doing it, culture, this world, it's all going to take away from a life rooted in Jesus. And so I was preparing this, Lord laid on my heart to present what Bishop has presented many times over the years. So Dan, would you come up here? Dan Powell. 2 weeks ago, he used me. And I was sitting up here. Yeah, give him a hand. I was sitting up here with this cloth on me, and he pulls out the big bottle of olive oil. And I internally, just so you know, I went into panic mode. I'm like, I've got my suit coat on. I'm like, there's no way he could do that. Like, it's going to get all over this carpet. How are we going to clean that up? I'm like, he would never do that. And then this thought, and I talked to some of you, and you had the same thought, but it's Dan Powell, you know, so I was worried. So Dan, you are the devil. Right here. Madden, you look like a good God. So, Madden, come on over, you're God. Want to be like Madden? Come on. All right. And then, Robbie, why don't you be, come on up. Why don't you stand like right here? You can be the world. And then, who wants to volunteer? Luther, come on up. Thanks for volunteering. You'll be the church. Look good looking church. Stand right here. Stand kind of close together. And what Bishop gave this illustration, there was a time, long time ago, decades ago, where there was a lot of common biblical principles in the church as well as the world. A lot of folks treated people kindly. They loved each other. There was just this common thing. Well, over time, the world takes a step toward evil, toward the devil, toward the things of wickedness. And the church is over here close. Let's get a little closer to God. Let's start off close to God. And so the world would start, has started drifting. And I've been here, I think it was 25 years this year. Yes, older than some of you. I feel really old. So it's been, let's say, 20 years since he preached this. And to see the progression of this and have it played out in front of me is really intriguing. And so what happens is the world begins to embrace the fringe society, the fringe elements, the fringe, the sins that, oh my word, that was despicable. And now it becomes slightly less and okay, you can come in, you know. And then what happens is that the church takes a step toward the world and begins to embrace some of, you can take one more step. Yeah, you're in the church, but bro, you're close to the world. And takes us and begins to, yeah, okay, they're not this far, but they have gone a little ways away from God. And you're like, amazing. Looks like I'm not random thoughts here. And then what happens is that the world, the fringe element, keeps going worse and worse, and the world keeps going. And then the church begins to go. And so now, what the church would never have done 30, 40 years ago, they're allowing, they're letting into the church, and they're doing and participating in. And you see it like the, I don't have statistics, I didn't even look it up, random thought here, but divorce rates, it's about equal between church and the world because of allowing things to get in our hearts and minds and do things. And so, again, the world, you're just going closer and closer to the devil. Glory, help you, Robbie. And then the church keeps doing it. Church keeps going that way. Church keeps going that way. And God's over here like, guys, I want, you know, and he and Bishop would talk about how our response should be, okay, we need a radical element to come over here and start making our way back to the Lord and start to embrace the things. Anyway, you guys can be seated. Give him a hand. Amen. But what was once countercultural becomes the norm. If you could put that countercultural image, I saw this meme, it was great. Counterculture in 1969 on the left. That's what was crazy. Why? Because most of the world, there was a little civility there and a little, that was crazy. Well now, if you don't get the message, a man and woman married with children, having a normal family, in 2023, that is countercultural. That is called counterculture. Why? Because culture has embraced the next thing. Culture has begun to embrace, and unfortunately, the church has gone along with it. As a church moves farther away from God, there begins to be a mixing of two worlds. I don't know if you can hear that hum, Brother Dennis, but it's a hum up here now. There begins to be a mixing of two worlds. And Scripture is warning us here in Colossians, watch out for culture. Watch out for what society says is okay. Watch out for the basic principles of the world. And, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics, But there are some concepts these days that I see in the church. And it's not sin, but it's mindsets of that the culture brings us. And we just wholescalely, like, well, that's the reason I can't serve God. Or that's my blocking point. Or that's the area. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to embrace what culture is saying is a problem. And instead of saying, okay, yes, I may be facing some issues, but I'm going to root myself in Jesus, take care of things, and grow and learn, and I'm not going to use this as an excuse in my life. That's what we have to watch out for. The basic principles of the word, they are not of Christ. They are not of Christ. There's some things that sound really good in this world. That again, they're not sinful, but they're principles, they're philosophies, they're mindsets of living life that sound really good. And on the basic premise, I would agree with. However, if you allow it to shape your life and to run your life, it's not of God. Yes, anyways, before I say something and get myself in trouble, I felt the Lord say, don't go into specifics, so I'm not. But we have to stay rooted in Jesus. We have to stay rooted in Jesus. We bought our house back in 2013 out in Marshall. So 10 years ago, last month is when we closed on it. And probably the biggest frustration, as I've joked about over the pulpit many times, is my lawn. I joke about my dandelions. I joke about mowing. I would rather snow blow any day. I don't like the snow necessarily in frigid February, but I love snow blowing. Mowing, you know, I don't know. It's my lawn has been a struggle. It's on the struggle bus. If you look at it from your car, I didn't have a chance to take pictures today. But if you look at it, if you're driving by my house and car, it looks green. It looks good. I mean, you're like, oh, that's a nice lawn. But then if you stand there and look down, it's not like Dan Powell's yard. Is your yard still perfect? Dan, it is? Okay. If you want a perfect lawn, go look at Dan Powell's. I don't know if I don't have the skill or the time or the OCD or I don't know what it is, but if you start looking down at my grass, you'll notice that there's bare spots. Yeah, there's grass, but there's like, you know, dead grass in between the grass, and it's getting worse. It's not thick, lush grass. It's so frustrating. I've tried everything. What I realized is that there is an unhealthy amount of thatch in my yard. Now, thatch, in case you don't know, in the case of grass, it's the mainly dead grass tissue lying between the green vegetation of the grass above and the root system and soil below it. If it becomes too thick, the thatch can block air, water, and nutrients from seeping into your grass system. You can choke out the grass. Now, Brother Brad, just act like I'm saying it right. Please don't correct me. He does landscape. I actually called him about this, and I decided to get my own, asked him to see if he would dethatch, and then I had the idea, you know what, I'm going to buy my own electric dethatcher. So I did, but thatch, before I get to that part of the story, thatch can oftentimes look and feel spongy, like a sponge. And I'm going to read something I found online, word for word here. It says, the thatch layer not only looks spongy, but it functions as a sponge as well. Most of the water from rain or irrigation is trapped in this layer of organic matter. This means, so interesting, the grass roots don't have an incentive to grow deeply in search of water because the water remains at the top of the soil. They stay short and live happily in the thatch layer where they have all the water they need without having to search for it deep down in the soil. So thatch causes grass to naturally say, why do the effort? I'm living fine. I'm here on the surface. So this is where our hearts can get to. A place where there's elements of the world that are blocking our lives, blocking from our lives the vital spiritual air, water, and nutrients of Jesus. We end up in the traditions of men, coming to church out of that tradition. Man, you want to see tradition, go to Europe. Cologne Cathedral. I lived 45 minutes, an hour away from there. Man, it's just, it's dead. You walk in, and it's tourists checking out the icons, checking out the stained glass. Traditions of men. But if we're not careful, we say, oh, yeah, that's tradition. Coming to church Sunday. Coming to church Wednesday. It's a tradition. And if we're not careful and our soil is being choked out, we could come to church. We could sing along. Oh, I know this song from WNWC. Na, 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 na. Gonna sing the song. We clap along. Maybe it's not out of the abundance of a grateful heart, but this is what we do. We clap. Oh, fast song. Slow song. Moving song. Dan doesn't know the words. Raise your hands. We joke about that all the time. That's what you do. If you forget the words while you're singing. Sorry, Dan. But we can get to that place where we're just, oh, this song. I love this song. Boom. I'm going to do my head bob on this song. You know, left hand raised. Oh, this is a two-hander. We get a taste of God. And so our roots stay shallow and we live happily in this spiritual thatch layer without the effort of going deep in the Lord. It can happen to us, to apostolics. It's not just other denominations that we would deem as traditional. It can happen right here at Calvary Gospel if we allow it. Looking at my grass thatch issue, like I said, I talked to Brad, got my own dethatcher, and this is what it does. It's a process of getting that thatch layer out of the grass, which allows the grass room to breathe, so to speak. So decided to try it on my own. I've got like an eighth done. If I hired Brad, it would already be done. But I really wanted to try it and do it. I don't know, probably unwise. But anyways, next year I'll give you the results when I finally finish. But so I mowed a portion of my grass, front half side of the front, and then I dethatched it, literally not much of my yard. And so what I did is I mowed, I went it over with a dethatcher. The dethatcher pulls up the thatch, sets it back on the grass because there's no bag. Well, my mower has a bag, so then you mow again, and you get all the thatch into the bag. It's the easiest way to do it instead of raking it up and all that stuff. So just a small portion of my yard, and the normal grass clippings for that one area filled one 70-quart tote. I get totes, and I probably my whole yard is like six totes. Depends on how long and how long I wait to mow, but usually about six totes. So this was one. So this is about one-sixth of my yard that I did. One tote. The thatch, and Brad's like, yep, here we go, ended up being three totes full. Grass clippings, one tote. The amount of thatch. And I probably could go back the other way because I saw a YouTube video. Go YouTube. And they suggest going one way and then going the other way to get if you really want to do it. Probably wait till the fall to do the second one. But I probably could have gotten more. The thatch is killing my lawn, and now it really looks sad. So I need to get to the place where I can overseed it and all that stuff. Anyways, but it's amazing how much of the world we can accumulate in our lives by what we watch, what we listen to, what we read, what we partake in, and not even know it. I would have never. I mean, I knew there was because it's to the point of looking bad. But I would have never guessed there would be that much down there. It's so easy to fill our schedule. Again, not sinful things, but is it Hebrews that says, lay aside the weights that beset us and the sins. So there's weights, and that could be your schedule. The United States, culture, busy, 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 everything. And I think about it more. I got a seven-year-old, three-year-old. And it's like, man, I want them to experience sports. I want to experience them of this and that. And it's just like, I just don't have the time. I'm not willing to give up that time. that family time or that time of teaching them. And I don't want to come home exhausted after this practice and that practice. And so, I mean, we found a little basketball league from out of Door Creek, and one practice a week and one game a week for 6 weeks. And I was like, super cool. And so we managed that, and because I really want them to have that experience. But we can fill up our schedule with whatever. I mean, it could be youth sports. It could be, you know, Lego. Seriously, you know how long it takes to build like a, ask Jacob. Him and I know, like 3,500 pieces, Christopher. Yeah, he just got the Death Star for free. What a blessing. That was the first thing he said. Guess what? I'm like, what? I got a Death Star Lego for free. I'm like, man, you're blessed. I need some Death Star Lego friends. But it takes a long time to build Lego. And we could fill up our schedule. Scott, cars. It takes a lot. I don't do cars, and I know. And Bryce, yeah, you're looking at each other. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And whoever else, you know who you are. You know how long it takes? I mean, I don't even do cars. I know it takes a long time. And then you got to like, well, I don't like that turbo. I want the extra turbo. Right, ladies? It's like, you know, like, seriously, I got to be in the garage again, you know. And again, I'm not against hobbies. I love Lego. But man, it's like I could get consumed with that. And then my wife's like, Phil, would you stop recording your Lego channel and come up and hang out with the family? And I'm sure car guys have heard, would you stop in the garage and come hang out with the family? And those who crochet, would you stop and come hang out with your husband? And those who make cookie, I don't know. I mean, anything that we do, we could go to excess. You get my drift. Cool, I don't love cars, but you love it. Go for it. But if there's an extreme, that's where the thatch begins to deal. You know, if our business is taking over our lives, maybe we need to think about dethatching. If Lego are filling up the house, I'm sorry, Alyssa, but you know, you need to say, set the rules. Like you have a small room and that's it. Here's your three shelves, Jacob. They don't fit on the shelf. You are not buying it. Amen. Amen. What we need to do is dethatch our lives. How a dethatcher works is that there is a roller underneath, and there's these tines. This is a spare one they sent. I don't know if you can see it, but it's like a U shape with these sharp. They're not too sharp, but sharp enough. And it spins, rotates, and as it rotates, it digs into the ground to the thatch layer, and then it pulls it up as it comes around. And there's, I don't know, 30, 40 of these tine sets on the the dethatcher, and it rotates, it grabs it, pulls out the thatch. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, man, I want the word of God, but I don't want it to go that deep. That could be where we are. I'll do my daily Bible reading, but I'm not going to really explore what God's wanting to really just get down into the thatch layer of my life. We need to let the Word of God do its work. We need to let it discern our ways of thinking, our motives, our reason for the busyness. Are you trying to ignore life and the stress by just getting consumed in things? It can be. Think about Martha. She was doing the housework when Jesus was there. And she's getting so mad at Mary, who's just sitting around, a lazy bum, listening to Jesus. And Jesus is like, man, this is the moment, Martha. This is the moment, and you're so busy with the stuff that needs to get done. I mean, again, it's not like, well, okay, cool, I don't have to clean the house. No, like you have to, but where's the time? Where's the balance there? Are you so full of like, I got to do this, that you don't take time with Jesus? And those roots are just shallow. Okay, I did my 5 minutes of Bible reading. When God's like, I want to change your life. I want to dig deep and do some surgery on you. And so you can grow and flourish. If we allow it, if it will pull out that spiritual thatch and allow our roots to grow deeper in Jesus once again. I don't want to be satisfied with just the taste of Jesus. Amen. I want to go all in. Hallelujah. If you're sitting here feeling like you're choked out, more on the dead grass side of things, you don't have much green. I came across a scripture and I felt to share it. Job 14, verse 7 through 9. It says, "For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground." Listen to verse 9. "Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant." You may indeed be dead, and only you know. It is just all the motions. It is just tradition. It's okay, because there's a scent of water in this place. And we just have to reach out for that living water, and something will begin to grow. Will it take time? Yeah. You might have a lot of thatch accumulated up, but that's okay. Just let the Lord do his work. What? One step at a time. One moment at a time. One precept at a time. Amen. If you would stand with me. We need to be rooted in Jesus. We need to be rooted in Jesus. And what does that look like? Such a cool imagery in this psalm. Psalm chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." He's putting roots down. And here's the imagery. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season." You know, sometimes we say, "Man, I gotta produce fruit in my life." No, in the season. Stop worrying about the fruit. You know, fruit is a result of what's going on underneath. If an apple tree is not healthy, there will be no apples. If it's not healthy, you know, "Oh, well, I gotta have the fruit of the Spirit." Fruit of the Spirit. Stop chasing joy, peace, love. Chase the Spirit of God. Chase after building those roots, because that is the fruit. We'll know them by the fruits. "Oh man, why are you so happy?" Because I'm a Jesus follower and I just am happy. No, it's because there is a roots in Jesus. And as a result, what blooms? Joy. "Oh man, well, your life's a mess." There's joy in my life. "Well, you're sick." "Oh, but you don't know what God has done for me over my life." But why is it? Oh, it's the fruit. Amen. "In due season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." What an awesome imagery for an individual who is rooted, planted into God. I want to be a tree. I want to be a tree planted by the rivers of water, the rivers of the Holy Ghost. I need to be a tree that has deep roots, soaking up the nutrients that I need for my daily life. Psalm says, there's a chapter in Psalms that says, he loads us up with the daily benefits. Whatever you need today, he'll load you up. When you wake up tomorrow, as you're rooted in him, he'll load you up like, "Okay, you're going to need some extra patience today. So I'm loading you up as you are soaking in me in. I'm going to prepare you for that patience trying time. That moment when your child just is a child and you wish you never prayed for children." No, I'm just joking. God is good. God is faithful. And when we're rooted in Jesus, we'll grow in him, we'll learn in him, and we'll have stability in him. Amen. As they begin to sing tonight, why don't you find a place to pray? And maybe it's, you know, "God, what's the next step?" Maybe it's "God kind of nudged your heart when I talked about dethatching, and it's, okay, God, I'm going to start the process tonight. Start dethatching me. I don't want this, God. I think it's going to hurt. It won't hurt. God, just pull that thatch out. Let that air get in. Let the water soak in. Whatever the situation, whatever God spoke to you, let's find a place and seek his face tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. And worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Open up.
Lift our hands one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a sweet presence of God. What a great word from the Lord. An image we can remember. Certainly going to think of it when I go out to mow the lawn. But nonetheless, just what a great message. Amen. Continue to pray for those that are working at the campground, and if you have time and ability to go and help, then you might want to just reach out to Pastor Roy or Pastor Jerry and see what they might need and how you can help. But if you're able to go up to the campground in the next 10 days or so, consider that. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we're going to have church here. And then, of course, at 11 o'clock, we'll have our worship and preaching service. Remember, Sunday, May 21st, men's ministry service and grill out at 6 o'clock at the Marvin Renvick home. Lana lives there, too, by the way. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.